This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Get the strain. No, you be. All right. We are back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We have Rob Raines and Alvin Reed. We're going to be joined by Barry Odom in a couple of minutes. Want to get a quick take on Adam Wainwright on Thursday. Would have been better if it was Friday, though, Rob, wouldn't it?
For the drama's sake, but he already pitched twice against Pujols. I mean, Pujols is 1-for-7 against him, but both those games were in Anaheim 2013 and 2016, so they have faced each other before. But, yeah, it would have been a cool moment, I think. But still, just Albert coming back to Busch is going to be special no matter who's pitching.
How about the ovation? How long do you think it could be? And was the biggest ovation previously David Freese?
Probably.
I think so, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
And we weren't doing William McGee never came back and played against us during
no,
his time.
No, he would have gotten the biggest.
Yeah, all right, okay. I don't know, a couple of minutes, and probably he'll get
a couple of minutes is a long time, but I'm not saying you're wrong. That'd be crazy, but it would be great. Yeah. Somebody said 5 in honor of his number, but 5 would just be...
No, 5 is... Yeah.
They won't last that long.
5 is your last at-bat.
He'll take a very slow walk out to the mound. Yeah. He'll stand in front of the plate for a few minutes. I mean, Pujols will acknowledge the crowd. It'll be a special moment.
Yeah, it will.
Waino joked that he's a little leery that Yadi's going to give Albert what he's going to throw if he was pitching. He was joking, though,
right.
Of course.
Oh, of course. Yes. But besides, I mean, my whole thought would be, I'm getting you out. I mean, you know, like, hey, dude,
oh,
seriously.
Yeah. But he did throw a nice soft changeup to Jeter in the All-Star game.
Yeah. Well, the All-Star games too. Yeah.
Oh, well, no, the all-time was when I was at Baseball Weekly when Cal Ripken Jr.
That's right.
came up
to
bat.
We're going to get back to some baseball conversation in just a moment. I want to welcome the head coach of the Missouri Football Tigers, Barry Odom. Coach, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing awesome, man. How you doing?
Very good. A lot to discuss. I know your time is brief. South end zone nearing completion. How special is this going to be when it's done?
Hey, you need to come back and visit, and I want to give you a tour. I want to walk through, and I wanted to show you as we walk in the door. I'm going to put you in the scope or the lens of a recruit or a current student athlete, and we're going to walk in, and you're going to be able to feel it and see it and touch it. It's one of the finest football facilities in America. Was a tremendous honor for me to help design the thing. And then also now it's becoming a reality instead of being a year away or now months away. Now we're actually days away from moving in and that being our home. And, so excited. I'm happy for our kids, because the 3, 4, or 5 years, whichever you've got a chance to be their head coach. It's about the student-athlete experience, and this is one thing that is going to really open that up for our guys. It's done the right way, and so exciting. It's also, for the other 550 student-athletes, it's a win for everybody because it opens up the current space that we're in. It's going to benefit all of Mizzou athletics. And even on another level, the fan experience – with game day, it's going to increase that opportunity for them to in our stadium on the way that the game plays out, the experience that they're going to have with the new sound system, with the video board, and all those things. What a great mark for Mizzou athletics.
Well, although you can't talk about recruits, it's obviously paying dividends because you are cleaning up, at least in the St. Louis area, as we speak. I want to ask you about a couple of your veterans. Tell me about Kelly Bryant, first impression. What are you seeing?
Yeah, he had a great spring. And, the thing when he walked in the door, anytime with a grad transfer, you want to make sure it's the right fit for your team. And Kelly has exceeded those expectations on just being a very, very low ego guy and one of the hardest workers that we've got in our organization. Very, very selfless, but also a tremendous competitive spirit and excited on the things that he's done, the moves that he's made in progressing his own skill set and the leadership qualities that he comes in the door with every day.
Larry Rountree is on the cover of some magazines. He's coming off a monster season. Give me a take on him and what you're seeing now.
you know, the thing that, that Tree brings to the table, so to speak, every single day is his work ethic, his ability to connect with others, his leadership, really his selfless way that he approaches on trying to be the best every day. In the way that he leads, the way that he works, the amount of effort and strain and grit that he instills in our program. He's a 1,200-yard rusher in this league. He's got an opportunity to be and leave his mark as such a special player, not only because of the 3.5 hours on Saturday when he's out in that arena, but the way that he approaches absolutely everything he does, the way he treats people, he is as good as it gets.
Coach, where do you stand on fighting the NCAA and being bowl eligible this season?
You know, the thing that I've learned with that, Frank, is it's a process that I've got to have patience with, and we're getting closer. There'll be some more information that is traded with both sides. I think the middle of July, there's an opportunity to have some conversation, and then another period of time before they really decide on what, if any, sanctions will stay or which ones will go. And you know, the thing that I've learned on this, on there's for a team and really even for a coaching staff, you know, life is hard, and the life lesson in this situation is there's something that happened completely out of our control. The more time that you spend thinking about this, it takes away from the habits that you're supposed to be developing every day to make us our best. And we don't control anything with this. Don't have anything to do with it other than putting up a good fight, which we've done. Our athletic administration's done a tremendous job on continuing to do what is right, which we've done from the jump, but also put up a fight on standing up for our student athletes. And you know, at some point we'll get the final resolution on whatever that is. And our kids have galvanized themselves in understanding that, you know, we're going to have an opportunity to go play. Let's go play our best, and then whatever shakes out with this, that's what it's going to be.
Perfect. Great stuff, Coach. I'm going to be up soon to check out that new South End project. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
Look forward to it. See you, man.
All right. That's Barry Odom, head coach of the Missouri Tigers. Okay, Alvin, Charles Tuna Edwards, who sits in that chair on Friday, and others have talked about how the Blues run was not inclusive enough. What do you think they could have done, and what's your take on that whole slant on that?
Well, first, we were two good Jayhawks sitting here, weren't we, as the coach discussed Missouri football.
We stay quiet.
They say, okay, it's all good.
It's very nice of you.
Very nice. Well, I mean, one, I kind of beg to differ. I've written a couple of columns just about hockey, and I've always, you know, followed it and been part of it, you know, just like from going, not a lot, but going to enough games. I mean, what are the Blues supposed to do? I mean, I wrote a comment, said, look, make sure Tony McKegney comes back. Find Tony McKegney, bring him back. He was your first player of color. He's your first black player.
You mean for the parade or?
No, for the parade or.
Somewhere.
And you know what? He could have been there for all I know. You know, so before I say, like, he wasn't anywhere around. I don't know. I you know, that was part of a column I wrote. There were some things you could have done. But I think there were a lot of people that just as charged up about the entire thing as I was. And I think, you know, the older you are, the more the understanding that it just – we were beginning to wonder, man, I sure would like to see the Blues, you know, black, white, whatever. Like, I sure would like the Blues to win the Stanley Cup so I could be here when it happened.
Some people took issue when I said – and I didn't mean this to make a political statement, that the parade did really unite the city. And I agree that, you know, on Sunday morning, it wasn't like we were a better city. Mm. But I was saying it because I was there with 500,000 people, and I just saw a lot of love and everybody just positive and no violence. It's just really cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and that's fine. But, I mean, it's feel-good moments are great for everybody. They're not, you know, game changers or change what's going to happen today or tomorrow or the next thing. I mean, Toronto had 1.5 million people and 4 people got shot, and Toronto is a peaceful city. So, I mean, stuff happens, and it's fine. But, you know, look, the joy that I found a week ago, you know, tonight, are you going to the parade? I'm like, no, I'm not going to the parade. That, you know, like,
You're not a parade guy.
You remember when, okay, you were in Atlanta.
Yes.
All right. And we had to come back, okay? And I caught a flight really early in the morning. Well, ice storm down there, and there was all, you know, we got back. Snow was covering the car. Right. And I was going to go to the parade, you know, media section and all. I was going to go. I got in my house, and I just told my wife, I said, like, honey, I'm not going. I'm done. So it was kind of like after the season they had and after what, but Saturday, I also worked Saturday, but at the same time, I said, like, I'm done. Go for it, people. Have a great time. So I'm not mad at anybody.
All right, let's get back to baseball. Rob, when do you think the finger turns to Mo, or has it already turned there now that we're a week after the Blues season?
As far as the attention about you know, the moves and stuff, I think after the season. Let's let the season play out, see if it's, you know, they can get back into the playoffs. Again, we mentioned they're three games out of first place or whatever it is. So, I mean, there's not, you know, 90 games to go. I mean, people to me – baseball is one of those sports you have to have patience. I mean, I know it's frustrating on a day-to-day basis, and you have a different result every day. But to me, I still look at the big picture, and the big picture is this team still has a chance to be in the playoffs. And if they are, then I don't think there's any real attention placed on him. If they miss the playoffs again and their key players that he acquired or signed to long-term extensions don't perform well, then I think, you know, somebody has to answer for that.
I agree. I mean, if you guys do, could the Cardinals win the World Series this year, you still have to say yes. And that's all, I guess, a general manager can do. And I would even think if they don't make the playoffs this year, then it will be next year when the real heat would be on Mazzaglia. I think it would be the 2020 season. And if they literally were playing the same kind of baseball that they are right now, then I think he wouldn't even last next year. He'll last this year. He'll come back. They'll not retool heavily because of the contracts and all that. Not too many guys are going too many places in this offseason. So I think we're still going to bring back, 80% of the team, probably without question?
Yeah.
So it remains to be seen. But it's too early, I think.
Where is the starting pitching option? Where's the maneuver? Okay, you feel good about Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Jack Flaherty was really good despite the home run balls.
Right.
Wainwright may be serviceable the rest of the season. And Michaelis maybe has figured it out. But there's an issue there with that final spot. What do you think the best idea is at this point?
They have to hope that Alex Reyes is the guy. I mean, I think that's the guy. But, again, he's not pitched well at AAA. And I'm almost to the point where you give him one more start at AAA and then just bring him up here and see what happens. Because I think part of the problem at AAA is he doesn't want to be in AAA. And I think he's pitching like he just wants to get through it. And I haven't been down there, saw him, you know, when I was in Memphis last time, he was out on his rehab thing, so he wasn't there. So we haven't talked, but to me, it's just a matter of, it's just physically, mentally, he's tuned out because he just doesn't want to be there, as opposed to saying, if I pitch really well, I can get back to St. Louis. He just wants to get back to St. Louis and
right.
Whatever. I mean, the biggest issue to me is he's got 23 walks in 27 innings. That's the biggest issue of how he's pitched down there.
If you're going to extend him, I mean, innings-wise, you got to get him here. And I think he should be given a shot up here because when he first comes back, you know, he's not going to even be asked to pitch 7 or 8 innings. Maybe by the end of the season, we get it to August and it really counts. The Cardinals still in it. They really need him to go. You're going to have to build up his, you know, just stamina and his arm strength, all that. So I'm with Rob. Get him here because I don't think he wants to be there and go from there. I always think you have to have a not plan B, like what comes between A and B, like plan A minus with Wainwright. I think at any given time it'll be something, you know, and he may miss a start, he may miss two, he might be done. In the back of your mind, if we need two, Reyes is one.
Well, and the kid pitching tonight, Daniel Ponce de Leon, I think is still a serviceable guy. I think he can get big league hitters out. So I'm hoping he pitches well tonight. And then you still got Austin Gomber. Don't forget now the problem he's got a leg injury and now he's on a paternity leave. So he's still going to be a ways out, but he's still going to be an option, I think, before the season is over.
Is that those are some names that I think we will be hearing in the starting rotation before the year is over, getting some starts for Adam Wainwright.
Thing about Ponce is that the numbers on his starts, like the walks and stuff, are not great and some hits. But if he goes 4 or 5 and it says 1 earned run, it's an effective start. You know?
Again, you're not talking about him being the ace of the staff. Yeah. You're talking about being a fifth starter.
All right. Let me ask you about Carlos Martinez. Would you consider this, and do you think they are considering this, moving him back to the rotation?
Not this season.
Just not stretched out enough?
I don't think he's stretched out enough, and I think they're just really worried about his shoulder being able to take that stress of throwing, you know, 80 pitches every 4 days.
Agreed. I think he could work his way into being an all-star reliever this season by the time it gets all said and done. And a lot of this, like I say, if the Cardinals remain in contention like they are now, how you play every game is different than how you would be if they were to fall back 8-9 games. And I think it'd be good to just see him get through a season pitching middle relief and let Hicks close.
You couldn't designate Gant to piggyback Carlos Martinez's starts and say, hey, we're going to get seven innings out of these two, because you probably need Gant for Waino too.
Yeah, the problem when you do that is that plan falls apart if the day before the guy only pitches 3 innings or
right.
whatever. So, I mean,
right.
you can think you're going to do that, but being able to actually pull something like that off is tough.
Right, because somebody's got to, you know, during the course of a game, somebody's got to throw 175 pitches. I don't know who it is or how many guys it is, but you got to get there. Now, that reminded me of one thing. If the Cardinals ever wanted to go in this direction, Carlos Martinez would be dandy as designated starter.
Mm-hmm.
That Tampa move or whatever.
Yeah, I like that.
Where,
yeah.
you know, you said, like, all right, here's your role. Pitch 2 innings. And don't give up any runs.
Except when he was starting last year, he had more trouble
in the first inning than any other inning. That was when he would blow up,
yeah.
you know. And so, but he said, like, dude, I need to get 6 outs. Don't give up any runs. That's all. That's what we need tonight. And I think he could adapt to that. But his stuff is so good. You know, you could use it when the game is on the line. And usually, the Cardinals play a lot of close games, so he's still in there, but. You know, you don't want to lose him on the night and just pitch him on a night where you either win him by 6 runs or you either lose him by 6 runs. It's like, hey, give me 2, and the game's on the line. Dude, it ain't relief. It's you got to help us.
All right, let's take a short time out. We have Rob Raines. We have Alvin Reed in studio. Hollywood Casino is our title sponsor. They have some great concerts going on at Hollywood Amphitheater. Go to their website, find out more information. 99 Hops House is a great place to watch the game. 99 different beers to choose from. Final Cut Steakhouse, with the great steakhouses in St. Louis. We appreciate them being our title sponsor. Maryville Sponsors, the phone lines, maryville.edu for more information. Had a great time at their golf tournament on Monday at Old Hickory, Maryville. Beautiful campus in town and country. We'll be right back.